Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Shift Church. My name's Tim Carter, and I'm the vicar at All Saints Wellington and St Catherine's Eyton, and I'm lovely to have you with us here at Shift Church on a Wednesday night. If you're live with us on Facebook, but you might not be, you might be listening on the podcast, you might be catching up on Facebook, you might be catching up on YouTube, wherever you are, whenever you are, work, college, walking the dog, lovely to have you with us. I'm Tim, and we have got a couple of folk with us on screen this evening. Say hello, Emmy.
Hi, how is everyone this week?
Yeah, Emmy.
Are you here or there?
You can answer, Emmy, if you're with us live, because, of course, Emmy's keeping an eye on the comment stream this evening. So do feel free to say hello on the comment stream, to put prayer requests on, to join in the conversation generally. That would be great. If you're listening back and you want to join in the conversation, you need to email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll include your stuff next week. And we've also got Sarah. Say hello, Sarah.
Hello, Sarah. No, hello, everybody. Good to be back. Hi, everyone on the podcast, and hi, everybody out there on the stream. I'm waving just for the podcast, guys, so you know.
Sarah and Sandra and Ali are all waving back as well. So
yay!
Go, girls. Do you think they're actually sat in their sitting rooms waving, or do you think have they just put waving emojis on?
No, I mean, they are. I wave at the telly. But then that's me.
That's just because you're hoping there's a secret camera to audition you for.
Yeah, Gogglebox. Oh, yeah, could be good.
We've got Charlotte, Elizabeth and Peter with us as well tonight. So hello to them as well.
Wow. I was just going to say I feel a little bit sorry for Tim because he's with two very strong women tonight. So you might get a bit overpowered by us if we get talking.
We'll be channeling the Holy Spirit. So as long as it's His words, then it'll be the right ones.
Yeah. Oh dear.
So, guys, you'll have to tell us if you think he looks frustrated, and we'll back off. What do you reckon, Emmy?
No.
Right. Well, I'm going to go and have a cup of tea, then. Leave you two to it. How about that?
Oh no! I'm just showing consideration.
Thank you.
Just tell us if we talk too much.
Never. So what kind of week you had? Good week? All right week? Bit rubbish week?
I've had a brilliant one. Gosh, Sarah's actually saying she's had a brilliant week. What date, what time is it when I've said this? Tell me quick. No, it was actually my birthday on Monday.
Happy
and
birthday.
Thank you to everybody out there that sent the most lovely, gorgeous messages. And it's funny because everyone says about a lockdown birthday, boo-hoo. To be honest, most of my birthdays are like that, boo-hoo. So I wasn't expecting anything greater. And in fact, I don't know whether it's because it is lockdown and people are considerate, you know, more considerate because of what's going on. But I had a great time. I got flowers arriving, big box presents. I didn't know what they were. Lots of cards and online wishes. So it was brilliant. I had a really nice time. So that was great.
Okay. I was talking to somebody this week whose birthday was recently, and they had a friend whose birthday was around the same time. And this friend decided because she couldn't have people round for dinner for her birthday, she was going to cook dinner for other people and drop it off at their houses. Oh, so she cooked a four-course meal and dropped it round.
Oh.
Yes, to this other person's house to celebrate her own birthday, but she couldn't sit and eat it with them. So she just...
I thought you were just going to say they ate online.
No. She just cooked.
Wow.
There you go.
But there are very, very, very generous and loving people around that when people are in need, they cook for them, don't they, Emmy?
And they are,
just
yeah.
After I had my operation, and by the way, I had my cast off yesterday, so I'm into a splint now for 3 months.
Woo!
So I'm there. Another celebration. Yes, but Emmy, God bless her, said, oh, I was going to cook something for you if it... Yeah, and then Fraser drove it over. Oh, it was nice.
It was all those hints about struggling with the tin opener, I think.
That was
I need a bit of help that week. So, yeah.
Oh, I really was. But there we go. Have you had a good week, Tim?
I have, but it is now getting time that we need to kind of crack on, because otherwise we're not going to get through everything.
Got to get down to...
Yeah, I'm afraid I might have to do the odd timekeeping thing tonight, it looks like.
I warned you.
So, yeah, so we're going to just take a moment to breathe, to shift gear, if you like, wherever you are, whenever you are, just take a breath and an opportunity to reflect on God's word and to just quiet our minds a little bit. We've got another psalm this week, a little bit of music for those who are watching, some photos in the background, or some video actually, I think it is, and some soothing words, if I can make this work. Here we go. Let's have a look. Which one is it? Oh, it's this one. Here we go. And actually, you'll see it's a Shift Worship along the bottom here. That isn't actually us. It's another website I found called Shift Worship. How cool is that?
Wow.
If you want to see some more of these kind of things, go to Shift Worship. But this is theirs.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. I will extol you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all of your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and kind in all of his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord.
Yeah, so I just thought that psalm was a lovely reminder, both the words of the glory of God, but just that he hears our cry. I don't know about you, but at the moment there's a lot of kind of that going on.
Yeah, I think we're in the second week of lockdown and he's sort of, yeah, some of us need to cry out this week, I think.
Is it only the second week?
Yeah.
Gosh,
sorry that didn't make you cry before, it might do now. It's going to get better.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so if you want to go and read it yourself, that's Psalm 145, if you want to spend some more time just reflecting on that this week. It's a great psalm, Psalm 145. But we're going to move on to another bit of the Bible, and I think Sarah, are you reading from Deuteronomy for us?
I am indeed reading from Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 to 20.
Ooh.
And I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. Just where you find it, Deuteronomy 30, 11. Sorry, were you going to say something, Tim?
Yes, I was just going to say that if you are listening on your phone and you don't have a Bible app on your phone, somebody was recommending to me this week an app called YouVersion, and that's U-Y-O-U version, not just the letter U. And it has the Bible on in various versions, but it also has reading plans. So if you're looking for something to kind of suggest what you might read every day, it has those on it as well, and make suggestions. So if you don't have a Bible on your phone and you would like one, look in the Google Play app or Google Play or the Apple Store for YouVersion, and it's really good. Sorry, I interrupted you. Tell me,
no,
which bit of Deuteronomy are we in?
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 to 20. verses 11 to 20.
Okay.
And it's traditionally believed to be authored by Moses, just a bit of background. And it's a series of farewell messages, is Deuteronomy. Moses strongly encouraging the new generation of Israelites to live as his obedient people in the promised land. So this is probably as they, before they enter Canaan, about 1406 BC. So yeah, a bit of a history lesson, but let's go. The offer of life or death. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah. Emmy, what are you reading for us?
I'm reading from Luke, in the Gospel. So Luke, the Gospel, chapter 18, verses 18 to 25. So it's Luke, chapter 18, verses 18 to 25. And I'm reading from my yellow-paged Bible, because I find it much easier to read than the white pages. So it's a slightly different translation. We were talking about it just before we came on air. So let me just check. It's from the NLT version. Remind me what NLT stands for. New Living Translation. And it starts, it starts at verse 18, the rich man. Once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honour your father and mother." The man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." When Jesus heard this answer, he said, "There is still one more thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God."
Wow. There we go. Thank you both very much. So do either of you like science fiction?
Yes, I love it. Like, thanks. It's not a good book if it hasn't got a starship in it. I feel like that about movies as well. So, yeah.
There you go. Well, there you are. I'm among friends here.
Sarah's how not... many how many starships is there in your movie rates generally to have?
I like Doctor Who. I like Doctor Who. Oh, is that not science fiction then?
It's kind of. It's more soap opera, really. Space soap opera.
Oh, you're a sci-fi snob.
I am a little bit. Because I like the science fiction that opens up ideas, that kind of puts things in a different place and you kind of explores whole different worlds. One of my favourite science fiction short stories is about a group of scientists, and they're shown this film of an anti-gravity device. It's a man and he's got this pack on the back, but it's no jets or anything. And he just, but then it explodes and it destroys the machine. It kills the man. And the scientists are told, well, we got this video. We know it's doable. So can you replicate it, please? And they, in order for them to kind of attack the problem, they have to open up their minds to think, okay, this could be possible. It goes against how we understand physics, but how might have we misunderstood physics? That means that we can do this. And once they open their minds, they actually come up with a device, but it's the size of a warehouse. And they're all very upset. And they go, well, we've done it, but it's not nearly as small as this guy managed. And then the person who is the man who was leading the project bought the actor who had played the man with the original anti-gravity device out and said, no, the film was a forgery. The only purpose of the film was to get you to open your minds to consider the possibility that an anti-gravity device might be possible. And just the very act of opening your minds enabled you to re-examine it, and you did it. So this evening, and that's just way of an introduction, this evening we're continuing to think about our value of exploring. And last week we thought about being spirit-led in our exploration. And this evening we're thinking about being openness in our exploration. And last week, did we read Psalm 18 last week? Did I talk a little bit about God bringing us out into open places, into spacious places?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, yes, I thought did. I did.
Because you asked us what were our open spaces during lockdown.
That's right.
And you were listening. And you were sitting on the step with a cuppa.
That's it.
That's right, absolutely. And I was thinking about that since then. I was thinking that sometimes we can think that the Christian life's a bit like walking a tightrope. It's if we get a little bit wrong or we go off just a little bit, we're going to fall off and it's going to be disastrous. Mm. And Jesus does call us to holiness and talk about walking the narrow way. But also I think things from that psalm, there's this idea of spaciousness, of openness, of spaces to explore. There is something though, I think, about the fact that for us to be able to enjoy open spaces, we have to have an openness to it. Have you seen, I don't think I'm making this up, but I seem to recall either bits of video or reading somewhere that animals that have been caged for a long time, even when they're let out in the wild, they still walk. Even if the cage, almost if the barriers are removed, they still walk the paths or only have limited ranges because they're used to being constrained. I might have made that up completely.
No, I think that's very true. It's a psychological thing. Yeah. I think when we all come out of lockdown, we're going to find the idea of going, I already find the idea of going to a concert or a room full of people.
Yeah.
Difficult. It feels just quite scary in some ways. Yeah. So, yeah, because we haven't done it for a while. So I think that's very true.
It makes sense that they're like that, though, Tim.
Yeah. And so just building on that, the idea that if we're going to enjoy the open spaces that God puts before us, we have to have an openness in ourselves to do that. And one of the things I think we hear in Deuteronomy is Moses, as Sarah says, it's as they're about to go into the promised land, God's rescued them through Moses from Egypt, from slavery, when they were constrained. And they're about to come into this promised land, which is open, but actually for them to be fruitful and enjoy it and for it to be a blessing to them, they have to have an openness about themselves. They've got to leave captivity and go into the open space. Mm-hmm. And to do that, they need to be open in different ways. So they have to have open minds, because it's not just that they were in physical captivity in Egypt, but actually they had the same worldview as the Egyptians and most of the peoples of the ancient Near East. They would have had in their minds this idea that there was the gods of Egypt, and there was the gods of Canaan, there was gods of the Philistines, and there was gods of here, and there was the god of the sun, and the god of the moon, and the god of the star. There were all these little gods, each with their own little empire. That's what that's how they would have seen the world. That's what their minds were captive to, but their minds needed opening. And Moses is saying, you must have no other gods, just Yahweh, just the one God, who is making this astonishing claim that God of the whole world, the whole of creation, there isn't a God of the sun because this God made the sun. There isn't a God of the moon because this God made the moon. There isn't a God of the stars because this God made the stars. And accepting this claim means open minds, minds open to a new way of seeing everything. And then open hearts, because God was commanding their love. Have no other gods before him, love me only. And the other gods, they didn't demand this. There were sacrifices to be made, and there were the rituals to be done to, like, harvest time to make sure there was going to be a good harvest, and safe delivery of babies or winning wars, all those kind of things of life. There were rituals to be done to get the gods on side. But Yahweh says, love me. And that takes an open heart. Mm. And then they had to open their hands because God was commanding their obedience. And part of that's the last one, to love God, but also to love our neighbours. And loving neighbours takes open hands, because to keep stuff, you grasp it to you, don't you? But to give it away, to be generous, open hands. Mm-hmm. When Emmy bought you around a meal, Sarah, that was open hands. Here's a meal.
Absolutely.
And if we're violent with each other, it's very often fists, isn't it? Unless you're a bit of a slapper. But open hands of welcome and peacemaking rather than fists. And actually, I've just noticed a fourth one when we get to the rich young ruler. Oh, no, it wasn't. It's a fourth one in Deuteronomy, which I've only just noticed as it was being read, which wrecks the pattern for the rest of it. But did you hear the last verse of that Deuteronomy reading? You may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice.
Yeah.
And that's open ears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a bonus one for you that I've only just noticed. Mm-hmm. And open ears, listening to God and recognizing God's voice, actually helps us to open our hearts and love him. Mm. So yes, bonus one for you. Where was I got to? Oh yes, back to our rich man.
Yes.
And I guess the obvious one there is the open hands one. Mm-hmm. Because have you ever seen the illustration of the monkey trying to get peanuts out of a jar? And he's put his hand in and taken a whole fistful, then can't get his hand out of the jar because he's holding on so tightly to the peanuts, and he can't eat the peanuts because they're in the jar, but they're in his hand, and he's stuck. And the reality in life is sometimes, in order to free ourselves or in order to be able to pick something up, we have to put something else down.
Hmm.
That's very just the true way of it.
Especially when you've got one arm in plaster.
Yeah, particularly. And Jesus looked at this young man and he saw someone who had too much in his hands to be able to pick up following Jesus. Mm. And for him, it was wealth. And for some of us, it might be the truth. It might be money. For us, it might be something else. Money's not too much of an issue, but something else we've really got tight hold of. This man was secure in his finances, in his property, in his wealth, and he wasn't willing to let go of it and reach out to Jesus with open hands. So maybe a question we might want to think about is, what is it that prevents us opening our hands to receive what Jesus has to give us?
That's just what I'm writing down now. Right. Too much to pick up to follow Jesus. What do we need to put down? So I can think
there
about
you
it
go
later.
And I wonder if the closed hands this man had were linked or a symptom of a closed heart towards God. And I wonder if you notice that Jesus, in the Old Testament, there are 10 commandments, but Jesus doesn't list all of them. when he's asking him which ones he's followed, he only asks him ones that he knows that he's done. And I wonder if Jesus knew that the other five would be more difficult for this man. I don't know. That's hypothetical. But if we look at them, the ones he includes are all to do with relationships. And the man says he's kept those. But there are five missing. And two of those are to do with work and possessions, which are don't work on the Sabbath and don't covet.
Mm.
So I wonder if Jesus saw someone who was a workaholic, who worked every day, never rested, and never spent time with God, and just wanted to accumulate wealth because he had a desire, he coveted what he saw everybody else had.
Yes.
And the other three missing are all to do with our relationship with God. Have no God but Yahweh. Don't make or worship idols. Don't misuse the name of God. And so I wonder if the man wasn't loving God, because not only were his hands full of stuff, but his heart was as well.
Maybe he'd have found those much more difficult to answer truthfully as well.
Yes.
If Jesus had asked him, he would have maybe found those a lot more difficult to answer truthfully, because sometimes you really have to examine yourself to answer some of those ones. They're a bit more difficult, probably even for us to answer. Mm. So, yeah.
So that's open hands and open hearts. And what about open minds? Well, as I said, we heard Moses turning the worldview of the people he was talking to upside down. Actually, Jesus does exactly the same thing. If Emmy had read on in Luke, we hear a conversation between Jesus and his friends, his disciples, and they are just, hold on a minute, if the rich people can't be saved, if not even the rich can get into the kingdom, where does that leave us? There's no chance we can get into the kingdom. Because they had picked up, they'd read Moses, and they had linked prosperity with God's blessing. God had said, be obedient to me and I'll bless you. And they'd kind of turned on its head. They thought that, okay, well, that must mean that anybody who's rich must have been blessed by God. It's like the all postbox are red doesn't mean that all red things are postboxes.
No.
Yeah. So yeah. Obey God and live for him. You will be blessed. All postboxes are red. But that doesn't mean that all red things are postboxes. It doesn't mean that just because someone seems to be blessed in this life means they're being obedient to God.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's the thing that the disciples have got wrong. And Jesus turns it on his head to see, I know the kingdom isn't about whether you've got earthly blessing or treasure, but it's about storing up those kingdom treasures of love, joy, peace, gentleness, just kind of those good things towards God. So if we value openness, and actually if openness is really important for us to be able to enjoy the open spaces of God, what does that say to us? Are our ears open to what God's saying to us? Talked about a bit about being spirit-led last week, and that probably connected to having open ears to God. Are we open to new ways of doing things? And that doesn't, I don't think that means automatically throwing out all the old ways. In my experience, sometimes people who are very keen on doing things in a new way, actually their minds are as closed as those, as some people who want to do things the traditional way. But it's about having open minds to consider and to weigh the possibilities to see where the Spirit might be leading. And sometimes that means our thinking, our worldview will be shaken, might even be turned upside down a bit. Not in like the basics of the Christian faith or doctrine, but how we see them being worked out in the world today. So that's open minds. Do we have open hearts to love God wholeheartedly? Liz and I are working our way through a box set at the moment, but it's several series worth of box sets of a series called Bones, which is all about a forensic anthropologist. It's basically a detective story. Anyway.
Is that the one Stephen Fry's in? Is that the one Stephen Fry's
yes.
in?
Yes.
Yeah. Never seen.
No, he's not in Bones, is he?
He is. He's the psychologist in the first couple of series.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's not in it much, but he was in one series. Anyway, the point being that one of the whole kind of backstory things about this is one of the main characters is really scared of opening her heart and her life to other people because all she can see is that she's going to get hurt. Why would you invest your emotions in someone else? Why would you open yourself up to being hurt? And it is true that opening our hearts up can make us vulnerable to being hurt. But if we don't open our hearts, then we can't receive the love that God wants to pour into them. And my experience is as we do open our hearts to love and to God's love, so it, as God's love pours in, so they expand and it overflows back to God and to those around us. And then the final one, open hands. Do we have open hands to give generously, to welcome other people in? Do we make space for new people in our kind of church gatherings when we can gather again, in our small groups, in our friendship groups? And will we put down the things that are perhaps, as Emmy says, preventing us receiving from the things that God wants to give us? So if we want to truly explore the open spaces that God has for us, open hearts, open minds, open hands, and a bonus one for this evening, open ears. Cool. So we'd love to hear what people think. Emmy and Sarah and I are going to continue discussing for a little while, but if you've got questions about the Bible readings or what I've said, stick them on the comment stream if you're with us live. Email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, if you're listening on the podcast or catching up on the video later.
I think there were a couple of things that stuck out to me, certainly regarding the open minds and thinking about, you know, crossing over to the promised land after all that time in captivity. And we're all a bit afraid of the unknown, aren't we? You know? But once getting to where you've wanted to be forever, you have to open your minds to things are going to be different. So when suddenly you're opening the door and you're getting your food from putting a bucket out and catching the manna coming down, all right, we've never had that before, but it's different. But I think what comes through is the thing that you can open your mind up to all the things that change. You can physically leave somewhere, but you've not only got to open your mind up to let the new experiences come, but also to let the old stuff get out. Because, you know, they left Egypt behind physically, but in your brain, you can take that with you. So you need to just flush that out. So,
one of my favorite verses in the Old Testament, it always makes me laugh, is a little bit earlier in the journey out of Egypt, when before the manna had come and the Israelites are hungry and they go, "We miss the cucumbers of Egypt."
Yeah.
Cucumbers.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. I thought you've been freed
from slavery, but you missed the cucumber.
It sounds like a Monty Python sketch, doesn't it? No, we missed the cucumbers. Absolutely.
But exactly that. Yes, exactly what you say about opening minds, not just to take in new things, but to get rid of the old.
But then also, I think the big thing about, I know exactly all about that, being frightened to open up based on previous experience, because it's a human sort of thing to do, isn't it? Oh, well, when I've done that before and that I got hurt and that. But it's about trying to be encouraged not to base that opening up and putting yourself at risk potentially, but opening yourself up. It's, don't base it on the past. Base it on future promise, you know, rather than that past experience.
Yeah. I think the great thing about Jesus Christ and having a relationship with God as well, as it's different from our human relationships.
Yeah.
Because our human relationships are very, there is the potential for damage in that, if that makes sense. And sometimes as an organization, as the church, we don't always get it wrong, right? If that makes sense. We are not always led by God, and there's the potential for damage there as well. But I think the promises of God are very much, if you can be open to him, then there's only fruit there for us. That's really what he talked about, isn't it?
Yeah, but then the great thing is that relationship still impacts massively on everyday experience, everyday life with human relationships, because you do just think to yourself, well, ultimately, whatever's happened there and what have you, I know that even if things were to go wrong again, I've always got God with me. God's always inside of me, and nothing can hurt me when God's around. Yeah.
One of the things I wrote down here was having that heart knowledge. I don't know, like when I did Alpha a few years ago, they talk very much in there about head knowledge and heart knowledge. So head knowledge is kind of, you know, the facts and the figures, and this is why the reason you believe in Jesus Christ. And then you have the heart knowledge as well, which is almost like comes from the spirit, where because you've experienced him, you open your heart to him, you know, and you actually have, you know, that feeling inside of you. And it surprised me a lot, because I'm not particularly well read in the Bible. I'm the first person to admit that. I'm dyslexic. It's not my thing. And I have a friend, a very good friend in church, who I look at her and I thought, oh, she's exactly the same as me in a lot of ways. And that we have a very similar faith and we're a similar place in life, you know. And actually, she's all head knowledge, it turns out. You know, she's very much the facts and the figures, and that's why she believes in God. Whereas mine's very much heart knowledge, which really surprised me. So I guess it's that openness. And I think that comes from, for me, from being a child and being with Christ since I was a child. But I guess it's not like that for everybody, if that makes sense. Particularly if you have had a life where you haven't known him as a child, it's always easier to accept things as a child, isn't it? But if you haven't had that, you're right, there can be some really big barriers there to just saying, you know, just opening yourself out. And I think the thing that I recognize is it's not necessarily a one-time event. For some people it is, and they can do it, you know, one-time event, but sometimes you need to like with any relationship, trust builds over time, doesn't it?
And
it can be the same with your relationship with God if it's something that's very new to you.
Is
there anything coming up on the stream? I've just got something to say. Can be looking at that, Emmy. So I was just back to the difference between human relationships and our relationship with God. I wonder if sometimes bad experiences in human relationships can make us afraid of being vulnerable to God. It's not that God isn't trustworthy. It's that if we've had a classic example would be if somebody's had a bad relationship with their human father, it can make it difficult for them to relate to God as father. And it's not that God isn't trustworthy, but it's just sometimes our experience of human relationship. We need to be freed from the fear of human relationship.
Yeah.
And that needs to leave our open minds so that we can enjoy a better relationship with God.
Yeah.
Anything on the stream, Emmy?
Yeah. A lot of people talking about cucumbers and some people found cucumber magic. Ali says, I think we can transfer a lot of our emotional hurt onto God. So that's just what you've been saying, Tim.
Yeah.
And Liz has been saying, I think it's also continuing to have open hearts when we are struggling and our prayers are not being answered as we would wish. Mm. It's about remaining open and remaining trusting, knowing that God is good. And to continue that relationship with him, if that makes sense. That can be a really struggling thing if you're in that place. To keep coming back to him.
Yeah, absolutely. So thinking about taking it home, how do we help our youngsters to have open hearts and open minds and open hands to each other and to God?
There has to be a great song in there, doesn't there?
Oh, probably.
I mean, if we're doing heads and hands and hearts and ears and...
Where is David Sims? Where is David Sims when you need him?
Is he on the stream? Is he online?
I, I think the most important thing I've learned, and I've probably mentioned this before, I was introduced to Parenting to Faith 2 years ago, which is a brilliant, if you've not found them as an organisation, they do lots of live streams and have lots of good resources on their Facebook and internet pages. But they talk about giving your child a heart for God, so giving them that emotional relationship. And for me, that is something that I really want for my daughter. You know, she can't tell you what happened at the end of, you know, she probably can't even tell you what happened with Noah or Moses or, you know, some of the big stories that you'd expect a child maybe of six to be able to recite off by heart, I guess, if they grew up in a Christian family, because she's just not interested in listening to those stories. But what she can do is she'll pray, and she'll pray for mummy sometimes when mummy's having a hard time. And I think it's that openness that I'm really proud of her for, and that experience, you know, God's with her and she knows that. And I say, oh, where's Jesus? And she'll always say, he's in my heart. I think it's that, you know, having that two-way conversation with God, and encouraging that in a child. As great as the stories are, they're great, but you also need to create that relationship as well. So God isn't just a story. He's somebody who they can to carry with him.
Great stuff. Thank you very much. So we're going to, what are we going to do now?
Bit of music, is there?
Well, we've got something a bit before a bit of music, actually. And this it's kind of, the link is a bit tenuous, but I was asking folk for resources that they're finding helpful in lockdown. And the tenuous link is, we feel very closed in lockdown. So where are our spaces, places? How can we get out of that mindset? A friend of mine has got a book published on Friday, and he's a youth worker in Bridge North, and he actually does some youth work in Telford as well. And he's just produced a little video to tell us about his book, which is called Stuck in the Mud, which is all about his experience and his family's experiences of times they've been stuck and how God's worked with them to help them get a bit unstuck. And Liz has read a preview copy. And she was sat reading the preview copy a couple of nights ago going, this is really good. Oh, I like that story. Oh, you can tell he's a poet. So I'm going to play this little video, and I hope if I can make it work, just as a little bit of a trailer for it, and just encourage you to support a local author who works locally. And is a good guy, and this might just help in lockdown as well. So I'm going to share my screen and play this. Here we go.
Hopefully he's going to play screen any minute, guys. Otherwise Sarah may be doing a song and dance for us instead. No, definitely not. Tim's like, I'm going to find it. Liz is saying on the comment stream what a brilliant book it is. There was lots of conversations earlier as well. Lots of love for Doctor Who, I'm afraid, Tim.
Yeah. Am I taking it that the video isn't playing? The video isn't playing, is it?
No.
Okay,
And a couple of people who were very excited to watch Bones. So, you know, we may have changed their lives. So.
Okay. I have worked out what I had done wrong. It is now going to work, I promise. Here we go.
Yay!
On Friday the 22nd of January, my very first book, Stuck in the Mud, is going to be released. This guy thought that Stuck in the Mud was going to be released in 2018, but little did he know that the publishing world is actually quite difficult. Stuck in the Mud is filled with stories of family and having kids and redundancy and bereavement and just navigating what life is all about. My greatest hope is that when you read it, you find something of restoration for your own situation. That's what the whole book is about. It's available for pre-order right now on Amazon, but it will be available everywhere, I'm sure. And I just really hope that you find this to be a book that's full of joy and hope and restoration and peace for you. My name is John Proctor, and I hope to see you soon. On Friday.
So, yeah, look out for Stuck in the Mud. You can order it now, as John says, on Amazon at least. It looks really good. So now we have got a bit of music, and that will lead us into some prayer. And Sarah's going to go straight into prayer after we've had a bit of music for us to reflect on some of these things with. There we go. Thank you.
Tim, if you can just pop the first slide up. This week we've been exploring openness. In a time of lockdown, when church buildings and us as people are in a state of shutness, let us pray for that opportunity to be open in new ways. That God, as in Psalm 18, will indeed bring us into a spacious place. In our prayers, let us open our minds, our hearts, our eyes, our ears, and our hands, so that we may make way for new people, a new world, a better world. I'll pray four short prayers. After each, let's take a few silent moments to dwell in our own thoughts and prayers before others here or on the stream share their thoughts and prayers also. Lord, open my mind to a deeper understanding of the word become flesh, born to heal the times of loss. May my thoughts be unclouded by the mists of doubt and fearfulness, and bring me to a knowledge of the wonder of the cross.
Paul writes, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be renewed by the transforming of your mind. Lord, we'd ask you to come and transform our minds, our worldviews, the way we see things. Open our minds to your possibilities. Amen.
Open my heart, Lord, to a love beyond all measure, to the soft touch of peace that can make the shattered whole. May my fears be enfolded by the Holy Spirit's gentleness, and let me feel your presence at the center of my soul.
Lord, I just lift up anyone who's listened to this and is just feeling broken, finding it difficult to connect with you, Lord. I pray that they will know that you are present, Lord. That they will be feel ready just to open their hearts, even if it's just a little bit to you, Lord. And that you just flood that with your love, Lord. I just pray that you will reach in there and make them feel loved and show them your truth.
Lord, open our eyes to the miracles around us, to the work of your hand in creation's distant birth, from a new infant's heartbeat to the bright stars of the universe, and let us glimpse a vision of your heaven here on earth.
As Amy said earlier, for some of us, having been enclosed for so long, going out can feel a bit scary. It's almost like our eyes, our visions have got blinkered and shuttered down. And so, Lord, would you take the blinkers? Would you take the blinkers off as and when things start opening up again? Would you lift our eyes and look to the horizon where our horizons have shrunk? Would you open them up again? Spiritually, if not physically, yet. And physically, eventually, please, Lord. Amen.
Yes, Lord, I just pray that
you will allow us to see your reality, Lord, God reality. Because often our own experience or of life can distort what we feel or see around us. And those anxieties can be overwhelming. So I just pray that if anybody's feeling like that, that you will just open their eyes to your reality, Lord, to what you see in them and around them. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Open our ears, Lord, to the music of the angels, to the chorus of praise that re-echoes round your throne. May our voices be uplifted in a song of joy and thankfulness. And let us hear you speaking as we worship you alone.
Yes, Lord, in the midst of all the turmoil and it feeling like our lives are surrounded by storm and earthquake, would you give us those spaces where we can hear your quiet voice whispering your love and your delight in us? Amen.
Lord, we pray that you will open our hands so that we may receive the help you are so eager to give us. Open our hands to boldly, freely, joyfully share your blessings with others. And dear Lord, please do open our minds, open our hearts, open our eyes, our ears, and our hands. And finally, Lord, as we close, if Tim can just share the final slide. Let us pray together, wherever we are, a final prayer. To Jesus, the Good Shepherd, open my eyes, that I might see your glorious light. Open my mind, that I may know your truth. Open my heart, that I might receive your healing touch. Open my ears, that I might hear you say, I love you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Slightly cheesy cartoon Jesus there for those on the...
Sorry, it's the only... Yeah. Other than finding the picture and type it out myself.
That's all right. Lovely prayer, that. Good. Well, we're coming towards the end of our time this evening. It's been great to have you with us. Sarah and Emmy have moved around on my screen, which has confused me.
Yeah, you were below the two of us on mine before.
Oh, no, I was never there in mine. We just swapped to the side. Be interesting to see what comes out on the video for other people. Anyway.
Yeah.
Great. So lovely to have you if you've been on live with us. If you've been catching up on a recording, podcast or video, good to have you with us. If you want to contribute to next week we are continuing our theme of exploring and we're thinking about innovation next week. Innovation. So if you've got thoughts about innovation in faith and you want to get in ahead of the game, email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And that applies if you've got some stuff this week you want to comment on. Any final things from the comments stream, Emmy?
No, just people really enjoying the prayers, I guess, because they're kind of joining in and lots of amens and lots of good nights from people.
Good. Well, good night. So yeah.
Don't forget to let us know if it's something they want praying for.
Yes, absolutely. Let us know if you want to pray for anything. And let us know if there are any resources that are helping you that we can share. Like we shared about YouTube, everybody knows about YouTube. YouVersion, the Bible app tonight, and about Stuck in the Mud. Well, if you've got testimony, things that...
And the Yellow Page Bible.
Oh, and the Yellow Page Bible. Emmy's Yellow Page Bible for fake who found white pages.
I think it seems so simple, but yeah.
Yeah, because you were saying earlier, somebody gave it to you. You didn't even know you could get Yellow Page Bibles, and it's...
I know. That's definitely God-led, I reckon. So, yeah, it came as a present out of the blue, and I was like, oh, okay.
Great stuff. Yes, and testimonies of what God's been up to in your life so we can share and encourage each other. But I think that is all for tonight. So good night. God bless. And
good night, everybody.
Oh, yeah, say good night, Sarah.
Good night, Sarah. Keep safe.
Good night. Say good night, Emmy.
Good night. And I'm also going to say good night to Alex, who's been with us for a lot of it as well on the comment stream. So.
Oh,
and my lovely godchildren are probably asleep. So to them as well.
Right. And good night from me. Goodbye.